Hi, I'm Elizabeth Blanche, and this is My Father's Ashes. Thank you for listening. Sometimes, I wonder if there are events in life that shouldn't have happened. If there is a railway of life and your train is supposed to go steadily along the tracks, but something can lay across the rails and send your cars flying in directions that were never in the plans. If that is the case, I could assume that there are events that should have never transpired and secrets that shouldn't be kept. Sometimes those secrets get shoved into closets and swept under rugs. Families pretend they never happened and try to forget. Sometimes the years and silence allows memory to lapse, but sometimes rumors and whispers bounce through the lineage and bits of information find their way through the cracks and to the surface. Sometimes there are adults who decide to burden a child with those bits of knowledge. In those situations, what does a child do with knowledge that she shouldn't have, of events that shouldn't have happened? In my experience, the child holds it close. She wraps it carefully in linen, like the precious thing it is. She bears the burden and responsibility as if it were meant for her. She shelters it and allows it to root in her subconscious, spines digging deep within her neurons, forever giving it space within her mind. She never questions her duty, she just shoulders it. Tiny hands clutching a leaden rock, fingers aching from the exertion. That's what I did, anyway. I don't know if the knowledge I was handed was ever really a secret. It felt like something that should be secret, something that should be held quiet and close, never disclosed or brought to light. That it was shared with me gave me a feeling of pride. I fawned over the knowledge. It felt right at home with the proclamations of what an old soul I was. I was always filled with a desire to be as grown up as my older sister. I was wishing my life away before I was in kindergarten. To know the grown-up things and be trusted with a secret so gargantuan made me feel just as grandiose. My mother told me when I was young that my father confessed to her that he had attempted to kill his first wife. I'm not sure how old I was the first time she told me, but I know it was before she married my stepfather, and that was when I was 6 years old. Over the years of my childhood, it was mentioned numerous times. Sometimes it seemed to be said jokingly, and at times in all seriousness. As I got older, I grew out of being proud of being entrusted with this knowledge. I began to assume that she hadn't actually taken my father's disclosure too seriously. I came to that conclusion because the implication, if she did believe him, is too unthinkable for me. I mean, my mother had a teenage daughter when I was born. I just cannot put myself into the mind frame to consider dating someone who professes to have attempted murder, especially with a teenage daughter in my care. Because this wasn't killing someone in self-defense, or manslaughter, or even something as awful as drunk driving. This was described as a blatant attempt to take someone's life for no other reason than no longer wanting to be married to them. I want to ask my mother, then or now, in what scenario does this end well for you? I consider myself to be a pretty empathetic person. I think in almost any situation, I can look in someone's past and think about the things that may have led them to do the things they've done. In this instance, though, I really hope that no matter how much I love someone, a confession of attempted murder like this would result in second thoughts about forming a relationship, thinking about a future, inviting this man into your home and into the life of your adolescent child. Attempted murder or not, she did invite him into her life. My sister tells me that my father was always good for a $20 bill and change for the bus in exchange for an empty house for the afternoon. And I was born on June 8th, 1990, to a single mother in a mid-sized, mediocre Midwest town. My name is Ellen. I'm a small artist, and while I would love to have more reach, I love what I do. And I am so lucky that I'm mostly able to make a living out of my art. I love horror movies, weird and surreal things, oddities, and true crime. I started this podcast in order to document my journey in discovering more information about my father. All of this is totally new to me. I've only ever shared my art with the world, so taking this extra step and recording my voice, documenting what I find as well as my thoughts and feelings, and sharing family secrets along the way is really uncomfortable. I haven't quite found a rhythm between robotic and oversharing, and all of the podcasts I listen to are really funny and relatable, and honestly feel like you're hanging out with friends. I'm not sure how to achieve that. I've been trying to go at this like I'm talking to my best friend, like they're sitting right here with me as I'm talking through my insecurities about my podcast on my podcast. Anyways, in addition to true crime and scary movies, I really love road trips and camping. One of my first out-of-state trips was to visit a friend who had moved to Colorado. I drove my mom's car, so we had to keep it really short, but Colorado became one of my favorite places to visit that summer. I love driving down to Colorado, camping out with my paints and canvas, and just getting lost in a painting. These are the kind of details that I usually include alongside a painting, but I'm not sure if they belong here on the podcast. But I've been on a crazy journey lately, and it's vaguely true crime related. Since podcasts are where I get my true crime entertainment, I figured that a podcast would be a really good place to document and share this journey. So, right now, my current project consists of trying to organize all of this new information, put it together coherently, both for me and for you, and I've started locking myself in my bedroom closet. I'm closing the doors to try to soundproof it, gathering up all my notes, and just talking. I'm trying to get it all out the best I can. I'm not sure if it's the most effective way to start a podcast, but it's worth a shot. I guess I'm also wondering if anyone else out there will find these coincidences as intriguing as I do. I put quotation marks, air bunnies, around coincidences. I'm wondering if these are your normal, run-of-the-mill family secrets that every person is bound to stumble across, or if all of these things are as insane as they seem to be to me. Maybe one of you will have more resources than I do. Maybe I'll begin to have real answers about where I come from. I feel like that desire, that piece of being unsure, is a product of a traumatic life as well. I have a huge difficulty looking at my experiences and knowing what was a normal experience and what was actually really awful. Have you ever casually mentioned something in a room full of adults and watched their faces shift? And then you realize that that wasn't a normal experience, that it was really actually quite awful, and you've just made everybody uncomfortable. That feeling makes me want to shrivel up in a corner. Sometimes it makes me want to disappear. But it also makes me want to know more about the man whose secret I've been holding since I was old enough to know what a secret was. I want to feel home. The city I've grown up in isn't huge, but it isn't a small town either. Nothing makes it particularly quaint or incredibly spectacular either. It's all just okay. It's never felt exciting or beautiful. It's never felt like a place where anything could happen that would put my life on a trajectory other than plateau. I had a teacher once who said I could be president, and my mother quickly reminded me that presidents come from wealthy families. We have never been wealthy, and for the majority of my childhood, we were well below the poverty line. Being evicted or having no food in the refrigerator was a pretty regular occurrence, so my childhood here was not the easiest. My stepdad was also pretty abusive, and I internalized a lot of the terrible things that he would say to me. I spent all of my childhood being absolutely certain that if I could just reach my biological father, he would save me from that existence. I knew he was out there somewhere looking for me, and that when I found him, everything would be better. As much as I was sure that my life would be so much better if I could just talk to him and somehow let him know how horrible things were for me, it never happened. Given the information that my father had tried to kill his first wife, I don't know how I managed to come up with this view of him as my savior. I don't know how he went from a murderer in my mind to someone who would rescue me. I've met my half-brothers now as an adult. I found one brother accidentally while I was trying to search for my father. His name is William O'Keefe. He is our father's namesake, which is why I found him while looking for our father. Unfortunately, I didn't really connect with him until after our father had a major stroke. His stroke left him mostly incoherent and helpless. He spent the remainder of his life in an assisted living facility, so I never got the opportunity to have a relationship with him. This year, I asked my wife for a DNA test for Christmas. I thought it would be interesting to dive into previously unknown links to my family history. I don't know that I'm going to learn much more than what William has told me, but I kind of hope the DNA test might make me feel a little more grounded and maybe give me some important health information. It was pretty simple to complete. I sent in a tube of my saliva that I collected after not eating or drinking anything first thing in the morning. After a few weeks, I got a bright blue link in my email that led to a family tree. As I expected, the genetic testing links back to my mother, grandmother, and so on. Of course, my father, grandfather, and so on also populate in my family tree. My father, his wife, and their two sons. But there are, next to them, three more children, all three of them girls. One of the boxes that represent these three new siblings is a faded gray and shows a date of death. Only two of his three daughters are alive. The mother and sister are both dead, but I didn't even know they existed. I'd heard about a first wife, the attempted murder victim, but outside of that bit of information I'd held on since childhood, I didn't know anything else about additional wives. I clicked on the link for my father's name, and I read along to his life story. I started scouring city, county, and state records, and I found marriage records. I saw that he wasn't only married to one woman, but had two marriages previously. A very short-lived marriage to a woman named Beverly, and a marriage to a woman named Victoria. As I sat and stared at the multiple marriages and half-siblings across my computer screen, I remembered the possible confession from my mother throughout my childhood. I entered my search inside of parentheses. William O'Keefe plus murder. It's not hard to find. Yellow words stand out among typed press on the old newspaper clippings. Soup poisoned, hubby canned. I sat back in my chair and ran my fingers through my hair, energy buzzing through my body. It's fucking true. He really did try to kill his first wife. Does my brother know about this? Do I say anything? What do I do with this information? My heart was racing. I read the article quickly, the room around me fading into the background. And then I turned to my wife and I read her the article out loud, quickly and without announcement or introduction. She stopped what she was doing and just stared at me as I read the old article. Her jaw dropped, and I read my father's name aloud in the article. Once I was done, she was immediately joking. Okay, remind me to think of this next time I think about pissing you off. I'm betting you can tell how she handles tense situations. I was probably way more shocked than I should be. For someone who spent the majority of their life being told something, I was incredibly surprised to find out that it was actually true. The old newspaper article talks about him being arrested for attempted murder and how she wasn't feeling well for days before she finally went into the hospital. And there it was discovered she had been poisoned with common household rat poison. My curiosity was piqued more than ever at this point. I want to know everything. I thought about the three new siblings that I didn't know about on that family tree. And I made up my mind to talk to William. Hi, I'm Elizabeth. I'm the artist and writer behind My Father's Ashes. Thank you so much for listening. While My Father's Ashes is inspired by true crimes, it is a fictional story. Unfortunately, while Ellen and her father are not real, the children who are affected by abuse and who go missing each year are. If you want more information on how to help your community, please visit www.nationalcasagal.org, as well as the National Center for Missing and Exploited Kids at www.missingkids.org. Thank you.